You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network with a really interesting episode to kick off a new show that I believe in because of the man that's behind this show, his 30 plus years in the business of pharmacy, really understanding the plight of the community pharmacy owner, literally, as someone who has gone and spent time with hundreds of pharmacists over the years. The name of this new podcast I'm proud to announce is Pharmacy Crossroads Podcast. That's Pharmacy Crossroads Podcast with Mr. Bruce Nealon. Bruce, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
I'm excited to be here, and thanks for letting me join your well-established network. It's a great service you're providing to the profession.
I met up with Bruce, I want to say 7, maybe 10 years ago when I was at SoftWriters. And that was a software developer for Framework LTC, the first pharmacy management system on a SQL-based open platform dedicated to institutional long-term care pharmacy. And I started reading Bruce's columns in Computer Talk in Pharmacy Connections with many of the stories that he'd come up with, really digging into the business of a community independent pharmacy. And he's had so many relationships with the business side, with small chains, independent drug wholesalers, pharmacy associations at the state and the national level. But it was his publications that I really enjoyed. This makes sense that he's transformed some of those writings and topics and ideas and themes into podcasts, as he's written for Drug Topics, Pharmacy Times, Computer Talk, American Pharmacist, Supermarket News, and many others. He is also someone that's delivered some CE programs for the pharmacy owner. And that's really why I'm excited that he's joining the Pharmacy Podcast Nation and Network, is because he has something to tell that I believe is worth listening to. And, you know, usually we interview the new host of the podcast, but he had to do one better than that. So he's brought a guest on his very first podcast episode. And I'd like, Bruce, I'd like you to introduce your guest.
Well, thank you for that. And the one thing I would say about the introduction is that if there's anything that I have to contribute to this, it's that I know pharmacists who are on the front lines, who are making good things happen. And I've become a real fan of the sometimes used quote attributed to Yogi Berra, the Yankee baseball player, who said you can observe a lot just by watching. And so I get to observe a lot of pharmacists, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to Kevin DeMass, who's the owner of the Apothecary Pharmacy in Salt Lake City, Utah. So Kevin, hi, say hello to our guests.
Hello, Bruce. Hello, Bruce, thanks for that introduction. And Todd, to you, congratulations for a terrific adventure here in the Pharmacy Podcast series, and congratulations on the long tenure and providing information for me and my peers. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to my peers today, so thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. And we won't go into an extended background, but I'll say I have visited your pharmacy personally on two formal occasions. In 2008, you were a pharmacy on my first pharmacy road trip, the coast-to-coast road trip that took me from the Atlantic Ocean to the Golden Gate Bridge. It was nice to see your pharmacy then. And then last summer, I took a trip from Phoenix to Calgary, Canada, and had a chance to visit your pharmacy going south to north. And you're the perfect candidate for this pharmacy crossroads, because I've seen you twice going from east to west and from south to north. So take a minute. One of the most incredible things about your pharmacy to me is the unique physical layout. So take a couple minutes and tell us about your physical facility and the challenges and opportunities it provides you.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to show you that on a napkin. When you say that you passed me, Bruce, going north to south and east to west, Salt Lake City is often called the crossroads of the West. You take I-15 from California up to Canada, and you're going to go one way, and then you take I-80 coming from New Jersey to California. You're going to cross right here at the crossroads of the West, which is just barely west of my pharmacy here. But you've been into the store, you've seen what we do. We've remodeled three times, and we just try to tweak it every single time to make it perfect and for the changing needs that we have in the store. We wanted to pursue some of the opportunities that we had in areas like, compounding and OTC sales. We needed a spot for our food, for drinks, gifts. And we needed a space to expand our immunizations. And we do some drug studies and research here. Our collaborative practice agreements that we wanted to explore, doing with naloxone and doing things in strep and flu. We need a space for that. The biggest thing that we needed that was growing was we needed a confidential area that was just kind of private where we could pull people across and not stand them in a 4x4 box up front that had a small sign hanging from the ceiling. We needed that place where we could talk to doctors, our patients, caregivers. So we kind of came up with this final design. It was for us at that time, it was the perfect mix of everything. So if I was going to do another pharmacy again and again, this is kind of the design that I would use with maybe a few tweaks in it. There's a few obstacles. My peers who have landlords, we're limited in space in medical office buildings. You've been here. I don't even have a sign. I don't even have a sign out front. So my patients, it's kind of a word of mouth business, and it's been that way for 47 years. I don't even have a sign up front. I just laugh and chuckle about all the time. We've just been very lucky. We're located in the basement. We're in the basement of the medical office building, and there's no signs. And so you really have to know where you're going. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge. And I know when I came to see you the first time, you had recently moved, as I recall, and it was a challenge to find you. There is plenty of parking in a 3 or 4 story parking garage that's part of the hospital and medical complex, as I recall. But you're not, people aren't going to pull right up to your front door, are they?
No, you don't pull up to the front door. We do a lot of deliveries here locally. It's free of charge. We have patients come in. We've been doing curbside delivery for a long, long time. So it's easy to get out.
Yeah, and no drive-through, right?
No drive-through. Drive-through here. The only drive-through is in the emergency department.
Well, the store is certainly clean and well laid out. You mentioned food. Why food and what kind of food?
Oh, we've got a large hospital staff, and so we want to do snacks where I can get basically the food is we use it for chum. And I don't know if I can use that word on the air, but I put candy, I put frozen ice cream, I do burritos and lean cuisine. I put all kinds of food in so that I can get doctors and nurses in here while they're walking through, or they're going walking through the hospital, they're walking back to their office, and they're going to dictate in a chart or look over some lab reviews. I want them to stop by here and grab something out of the fridge, the freezer, put it in the microwave. That gives me another 5 minutes that I can talk to them about a patient that I'm concerned about or something that we're offering here in the pharmacy. So we use it as kind of chum, and it also helps our bottom line.
Well, thank you for that. So the next thing that impresses me as I visit with you is it's not only well layout, it's clean. But more importantly, the environment when you walk in is just friendly and inviting. Your staff is well-dressed. They all wear name tags. How do you get your people to keep the store clean and to keep them be positive and upbeat and pleasant to deal with?
Well, that's a little tricky. So being an independent pharmacy owner, one of the blessings is that I get to pick the people that I work with. And when I get to do that, when I interview people that are coming from the hospital, they're coming from a long-term care facility, they're coming from a chain store environment, or even when they're coming from sales, over and over, I hear toxic environment. I can't go to this toxic environment and work. And so I tried over and over to create a non-toxic environment where my staff can blossom, they can care for patients in a way that they would want to be treated. So I try to assemble my team that everybody that's pretty much like-minded. I don't force anybody to work here. I can I go out and I explain my expectation for patient care. and how we're going to measure that. I promise him I'm going to pay him very well. But I tell him, you know, your biggest reward is going to be the satisfaction that you're going to get from your patient outcomes and what we call optimum patient care. You know, when you get to work with a team that's like-minded, you can accomplish so much more. And not only do you feel it as your team behind the counter, but your patients, when they come in, they feel it as well. You get a sense when you walk into a business, if it's going to be a toxic environment and the staff isn't getting along. And I mean, you can feel that fog hang, and I don't want that here. So to get my staff in and out, we create a non-toxic environment where everybody really, where they can blossom. You know, you talked about having the pharmacy clean. For years and years, we used to clean it ourselves. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, somebody's in charge to take the garbage out. Somebody's in charge of cleaning the counter. Somebody's in charge of the bathroom. Somebody's got to do, you know, make sure the coffee pot's turned off and everything is empty. At the end of the day, that just got to be monotony. And everybody, over and over in evaluations, everybody hated that. So I finally went out and I said, look, I'll hire it done professionally. So I have a cleaning crew that comes in every night, and they clean while we're here, and my staff doesn't have to touch it. They go home, they can have dinner with their family, they can go to a soccer game, a piano recital, go to a dance with their kids, and the pharmacy's clean the next day when they come in, and it has made a ton of difference on how my staff feels.
I'm really glad I asked that question. I had no idea that that answer was going to include a professional cleaning career. That's that's impressive on two levels. Number one is that you listened and realized that that was an irritant to the job, and you responded in a way that makes it a more pleasant place to work. That's a real management plus. I'm going to elaborate on that in the future. So that's all nice. That's positive and pleasant. But when it comes to filling prescriptions, you can't tell me that you're getting paid any more than you were before. What are you doing to try to deal with the drastic reduction in reimbursements and reduction in profitability?
Well, I don't sleep at night very much, Bruce. You know, that's a nightmare for every independent pharmacy owner. You know, you look at low and negative reimbursements all day long, you know, and I think they're going to continue to grow. Until, you know, you and I and Todd talked a little bit about, you know, at the beginning of the podcast that, you know, we need to legislate fair reimbursements on local levels, on state levels, even on federal levels. So I try to be an advocate on every level for that. We look for opportunities where reimbursements, you know, can be better. So I'd like to network with peers and, you know, see what they're being reimbursed on a certain NDC, see what, you know, this metformin might be paying you on which plan and which MAC list has what. And, you know, pharmacists are, years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I hardly talked to any pharmacist. I mean, it was all competition. But now I talk to every pharmacist that I possibly can. And I say, you know, how are you making that work? How are you making this work? And pharmacy's kind of coming together so we can find those NDCs and find those programs where we're, you know, actually making a little bit more money. I use, you know, my GPO. Like WSPC, I use my peers in Good Neighbor Pharmacy. They help me with that, you know, on a daily, weekly basis. So, you know, we also work our 5-star ratings as much as we possibly can. And you and I have talked about that a little bit before. If my peers will maximize our 5-star ratings, we're going to drive our reimbursements higher. And that's a way to, you know, find those other revenue points.
You mentioned real briefly there, and I don't want to brush by it, but you are a member of the Good Neighbor Pharmacy National Advisory Board, as I recall. Is that correct?
Yes, I've served on that board for numerous years.
And then you said WSPC real quick. I understand enough to know that that's the Western States Pharmacy Coalition that is expanding well beyond the Western states. So they're kind of migrating to the WSPC acronym as their name, sort of like International Business Machines became IBM. Is that a fair representation?
Yeah, there you go. WSPC started up in the Great Northwest here in the United States, and now they have moved out border to border, ocean to ocean. So now, you know, they've stretched out from the Atlantic to the Pacific. So they have moved on to WSPC, and they cover more geographical territory than the Northwest.
So with GNP, any specific program that they've provided in the recent past that has been helpful to you either with profitability or efficiency or any way it's helping you to bring another dollar or two to the bottom line?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, GMP is a network of 4,500 independent pharmacies, Bruce, and you know, we kind of network together and pull together as much as we possibly can. Good Neighbor Pharmacy helps me with things, you know, from my front end to fiscal reports. They, you know, their team helps me specialized in my core value centers that really help me be a better businessman. I can laser in on my front end experience for my patients when they come in. We can look at marketing techniques through the country, what's working in the West Coast, what's working on the East Coast and down in the Southern states, and maybe try that here. Their managed care that they do with their Elevate provider network helps me negotiate higher paying contracts that I can get, and it decreases my exposure to DIR fees. Every pharmacy owner is looking for that. Business performance coaching is another one that I rely on, that a tool that they bring in where they can just scrub through my data, come through and look at my claims, look at the doctors who are giving me high profitable patients, look at the products that have a higher margin on, some of the generics that aren't, and that helps me tweak which NDCs I want to bring into my inventory because they're going to be billed on a higher reimbursement rate on a MAC list. That's just absolutely phenomenal. I can't live without that.
Go ahead, Bruce. Well, I was just going to say it's the naivety of my question, I guess, is implied in your answer. There is no one thing that you can do at this point. You've got to be doing dozens of different things paying careful attention to the details, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's a lot, there's a lot of juggling balls in the air. And with the resources that the Good Neighbor Pharmacy provides for me, they help me juggle them at the same time. And then they could kind of help me, look at certain areas that are going to make me more profitable, give my customer a great experience, and then analyze it, do the analytics at the end and see, and actually measure what we've done. On a side note, I did a quick review with my business coach, and she was combing through and scrubbing my data. And she said, "Hey, you have an opportunity here to grow some business." And we looked at it and then we looked at some marketing techniques. Anyway, long story short, I marketed to a business to one doctor's office for 3 years. They turned me away for 3 years till finally they got tired of me coming to see him. And then they gave me over $1 million of business a month to take care of their hard patients. And so I had a 37% increase in script volume just from one office. So it was phenomenal. I have never been able to locate that. I would have never been able to locate that had Good Neighbor Pharmacy not had that program and somebody looking at the data in a different way than I could look at it.
That's powerful. So, I mean, that kind of segues into another question that I had pondered. So you've got robots and pill counters and computers and all kinds of stuff all over the pharmacy. Is there a new or unique piece of technology that you've incorporated in the last little while that you could share with us? Or if not that, is there some particular piece of the application of technology that you're using you think others are overlooking?
There's lots of technology in pharmacy that kind of makes my job much, much easier. But one of the newest things probably within the last year or two that we've really focused on is our communication platforms with our patients. You used to wait for patients to come in and then pull them into the office or pull them off to the side and have to talk to them now. But now we're using a texting platform, Bruce, that we can reach out in the privacy of somebody's car, the privacy of their office. They're watching a movie, Netflix at home with their kids, and I can tell them their prescriptions are ready, or that I can tell them that I've talked to Dr. So-and-so, I'm waiting for this blood test, and then I ordered your insulin, it's gonna be shipped, I'm gonna have it here. I can communicate with my patients, and it's really expanded. And I kind of stole that idea from one of my friends in New York. She owns multiple stores up in New York, and she's trained her customers to not even come into the store unless they get a text from her that says, "Your prescriptions are ready, come on in." And so when somebody comes into the store and asks, "Hey, is my blood pressure medicine ready to get today? I want to talk about it." the first thing that their staff says is, did you get a text from us? Huh. And if they say, no, I didn't get a text from you, then she said, well, hey, look, this is how we're going to communicate to you. It's quick, it's clean, it's easy. We utilize that, and it's been phenomenal. The phone calls and the phone ringing in the store have been minimized by that. It's been tremendous. So to my peers out there who aren't communicating with their patients all hours of the day, try texting them. I promise you'll get much better response.
Isn't that interesting? As a 73-year-old white middle-class male, I still hate texting, but the world is my kids are making me do it. So I appreciate that insight. So that leads to, you know, the suppliers. I mean, obviously there's hundreds of companies who try to sell into the independent pharmacy space. Anything you would suggest to them that they could do that would be particularly helpful in helping you attract more patients? And I don't know that more patients now is the profit driver as much as attracting more profitable patients. And any suggestions you have for vendors who want to grow in the pharmacy space?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a story about one that we've had. I've worked with several vendors and suppliers, Bruce, and people are really looking, you know, these businesses are really looking to pharmacy for information. I think the pharmacy is a valuable source of information and data for their product. And so I had a vendor come in that had a new product, and it was actually a long-acting injectable antipsychotic drug. And so they wanted to track patients that were coming in, patients that were using their drug, track adverse events, outcomes on that drug. And so, you know, they came to me initially, and the Pharmacy Practice Act in Utah did not allow pharmacists to do that. So for a couple of years, we kind of took that at the apothecary shop and pioneered that. We had to meet with the medical association. We met with legislators. We met with Department of Occupational Professional Licensing to check, went to the University of Utah, talked to my old professors and said, hey, we need to expand the scope of pharmacy so that we can include these things. Well, anyway, long story short, a couple of years later, we got the laws changed. We were able to offer this service. So now I have patients that come in. I can give them a once a month or a once every other month injection. They don't even have to do the oral therapy, and they're set. They have no relapses. They're not back in jail. They're off the streets. They're able to maintain their jobs in many cases just because of this. So then I put it into a portal, and they pay me for that data, Bruce. They pay me more money for the data that I'm putting into that portal. I would have to fill another 30, 40 prescriptions to make up for that margin that I'm making on that data.
That's another example of, I'm sure glad I asked that question. I mean, that amplifies what's the next question. And one of my favorite comments to pharmacists as I meet with them is, at any one time, there's only so many people in your store, but there's millions of them outside your store. And if you want to get more people in your pharmacy, you need to get out and network. And it sounds to me like you've understood the importance of that for years. What are a couple other things that you've built on by getting out and networking with physicians and regulators and elected officials?
Thanks, Bruce. That's an excellent question. For a long, long time, I just stayed inside the pharmacy, and I had a philosophy that, remember that old Field of Dreams movie that Kevin Costner played? Oh, maybe back in the late 80s. His name Ray Kinsella. Ray Kinsella was his name, and the Iowa farmer. So he went out and kept having that dream to get Shoeless Joe Jackson in. And if you build it, he will come. Well, you know, that's kind of morphed into today's language to say, if you build it, they will come. I spent probably half of my early career just staying in the pharmacy. I built many, many pharmacies, started businesses, opened the doors and said, you know, if I build it, they will come. And they did, but then they went away. And now my philosophy has totally, totally changed a different way. So now I build it, and now I've got to go get people to come in. I just felt that I was too busy to go out and sell myself in my practice. So I wasted a lot of years, and And honestly, I forfeited a lot of relationships because I just thought that I was too busy to go out. But now I'd never run my pharmacy like that. I go to every meeting that I possibly can outside of work, Bruce. I network with people every chance I get. You know, getting out of the pharmacy helps my business truly grow. Sharpens my pharmacy practice, ownership skills. I serve on lots of boards, nonprofit organizations, PSAOs, with my wholesale partners, state agencies, GPOs. Serving patients behind the counter really for 30 years has been very enriching and rewarding. But, you know, I've met some tremendous people inside the pharmacy, but I really got to say that getting out from behind the pharmacy, going to legislative meetings, going to wholesaler meetings, attending educational seminars, it's introduced me to a whole new world of pharmacy industry beyond what I have ever had in the pharmacy. My friendships and experiences, the camaraderie that I've felt and built with like-minded peers and associates, you know, throughout the country, it's given me a marvelous and an unexpected boost, honestly, to my professional and personal life, Bruce.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of those things. I've spent, 40-plus years now in this business, probably half of that time, it seems, to my wife and I at a trade show someplace. And I obviously marvel at the time and dedication that so many pharmacists spend devoted to, you know, to NCPA or whatever the organization would be. And there's something about that that is just seems to translate into success back at their pharmacies. And I think, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship. I don't know that one precedes the other, but they seem to grow together. And it's something that you can't put on a spreadsheet. You can't put that on your profit and loss sheet, but it shows up in your attitude. It shows up in your ability to delegate. It shows up in your ability to implement new programs. I get to see a lot of pharmacies, and I've come up with this realization that half of the pharmacies are below average. And, you know, that's a mathematical reality. But what keeps them below average in too many cases is their insulation and isolation. So I appreciate you talking about that. And I hope this gives some struggling pharmacist someplace a reason to say, okay, I'm Thursday night, I'm going to go to my local pharmacy association meeting. And as that happens, magic happens. I'm a firm believer in that, and I appreciate your comments on that. So we're running out of time. You get one last shot. As a pharmacy owner, as a member of a couple of advisory boards, the chairman of the board, WSPC, what admonition or piece of advice would you give to anyone who's listening to this podcast?
Bruce, I would say to my peers, build relationships with your patients and your customers. You've been here, you've seen our swinging gate. We've got a gate that's like an old Western saloon with hinges on it. My favorite thing is to watch that gate swing back and forth through the day when my staff goes out front over and over and over again to talk to customers. Educate them on an OTC purchase, adjust a cane, you know, adjust their walker to their individual height, talk to them about an expected outcome on their new drug. All while they're standing, get them a lid and a straw over at the soda fountain. It's just natural. Yeah. So I would say, hey, to my peers, do your work out from behind the counter. That's where you've got to be. You got to be out behind the counter. If you are lucky enough to get a new patient to come into your pharmacy, if you're lucky enough to have a physician or a healthcare worker, a nurse, a PA, anybody that can walk in, please don't talk to them behind the counter. Remove that barrier. Get next to them. Walk out and get next to them. Remove that barrier. They're going to feel important. They're going to feel special. They're going to feel different. You're going to create for them the best in-store experience possible. And you know what, Bruce? They're going to come back. That prescriber's going to come back. That new patient's going to come back. Their family members are going to come back because you walked out from behind the counter and talked to them. They're not going to get that at your competitor's store. So that's my note to tell them. I'd just like to say, you know, to you and Todd today, thank you so much for this opportunity to participate in this pharmacy podcast. It's been a joy sharing my experience of the last 30 years with you guys and your listeners. I hope it's beneficial.
Well, it certainly has been beneficial to me. Thank you so much, Kevin, for use of your time, talent, and expertise on this podcast. And I continue to wish you all the best. And with kids and the grandkids in your area, I hope I get to come in someday soon and buy a soda and see who puts the lid in the straw on for me. So
thanks, Bruce. We're at the crossroads of the West. You can find us.
Got it. Thank you so much.